it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay in the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Is the Cannon Cast, a weekly podcast from the Cannon, an SB Nation blog about the Columbus Blue Jackets. I am Will Chase, joined tonight by Josh. You are one of our newest writers. How do you say your last name? I don't want to butcher it.
It is Kuisin. It's so much easier. I've heard every pronunciation of it, but Kuisin.
I was just gonna let you say it. So no, Josh, awesome to have you on. And Rachel Buells. Rachel, you haven't been on the pod in like 2 months. How you been?
Good. We record on Monday nights and my Mondays just always are busy, but I'm glad I could join tonight and I've been good. I've just been chilling.
Nice. Yeah.
Hanging out, enjoying summer in Columbus.
Did you guys have good weekends, Father's Days and all that and whatever else?
Yeah, I had Friday off. It was amazing.
Same. Yeah, me too. I went to the river with a friend.
Hopefully my company adopts that someday.
Yeah, that'd be great. Everyone should.
It's my first Father's Day. It was weird. Nice. It's weird being on that end of it after 30 years of celebrating other people. So,
oh, congratulations.
Definitely takes some getting used to. Thank you.
Amazing. Congrats. How fun.
Thank you. She'll be one next month. And oh my God, it's been the most surreal year just with quarantine at home with the baby, working from home with the baby. It's been probably the craziest, best year of my life, though.
Well, there you go. Nice. Well, we'll go ahead and transition into Blue Jackets news. So another week with more headlines. I'm referencing Aaron Portzline's article in The Athletic over the weekend. So basically, a bulk of the article was basically John Davidson's trying to figure out how can we make this team. We've been talking about this a little bit lately, but basically, how can we make the organization more desirable, basically, for players? He referenced, you know, he's like, I don't want to say what we're going to do yet because it might change, but we're committed to basically fixing this organization. So there are things like we want to make sure that it's a great experience for the players, their families. So I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know if they have any concrete plans in place, but I at least like that they're definitely identifying this issue, because he referenced, or the article references, you know, guys like Artemi Panarin had his mind set on New York. Bobrovsky was never going to be resigned anyway, but he wanted the contract in Miami. Matthew Shane wanted to sing country music in Nashville. Some guys just wanted to be elsewhere. You can't help that, but there's just this trend, you know. Josh Anderson, I know he was traded, but it didn't sound like they were either going to give him the money that he ended up getting in Montreal, or I think RFA, contentious RFA type things have been happening. Pierre-Luc Dubois might be the latest. Ryan Johansson in the past. So anyways, first off, I'll start with you, Rachel. Do you have any thoughts on just the latest with this team, the organization, trying to maybe improve their image or Any thoughts on that, on that front?
Yeah, I mean, I think that you said it exactly. Some guys, you're just probably not going to convince them if they have their heart set on something, whether that's New York City, Miami, Nashville, you know, Southern California, anywhere in Canada. Maybe they just don't want to live in America. And I feel like, as somebody who's lived in Columbus for the last 7 or 8 years, in so many ways, it really is unbeatable. Just from, not even like from a hockey or being a part of the Blue Jackets standpoint, but like if you're comparing cost of living to all of those other cities, I know maybe that's a little bit different when you're making multi-million dollar paychecks. I literally would not know what that's like, but your money takes you further. Columbus has so many beautiful things to offer. You get all four seasons here, which is great. And then you have all, that's such a huge sports culture. I really feel like the Columbus sports fan base in general is something really special. And God, this new stadium that the Crew's about to start playing in is like, I just really think that's going to revolutionize the arena district where the, you know, Jackets are already a staple. But further into that, where it's just like, yeah, Columbus at face value, it's like, I really think that the team does have a culture problem. And I just simply am not convinced that that culture problem was solved by an internal hire in Brad Larsen. I think that, and now I think that we're kind of dealing with like a disgruntled fan base, because I think that a lot of the fans, rightfully so, are like, what the hell is going on? Like, what, you know? So there's almost this kind of like mass exodus, obviously players like looking to leave. So Josh, fun fact for you, and I don't actually know if I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but so I live downtown and I live in next to this strip of like, I don't know, the minimum price for these beautiful like townhomes behind me are like $800,000. And Pierre-Luc Dubois moved into the one behind me last summer, and like, which to me felt like a long-term investment. Like he bought a home, an expensive home, like a home base, and was planning to stay here. And then something happened and that no one's exactly quite sure. We can all speculate as much as we want, but publicly no one quite knows what happened. And then he was out of here. And so I think there's something going on internally, and I'm glad that JD's back, because I think that he, like you said, Will, it's super important that he's at least aware of it. I feel like for the last 2 years, like probably starting with Panarin leaving, it was like, oh, you know, there's nothing we can do about that. But now it's a ritual almost of, you know, there's, I should preface what I'm about to say with, I have kind of unplugged from hockey news over the last couple weeks, just taking a little break. The last season was a lot. Especially before we got our new writers on staff, we were all doing a lot of work, and I felt very plugged into the kind of downhill spiral that were the Blue Jackets this past season. But, oh, so anyways, what I was saying with that, I don't know where Seth Jones is going to end up at the start of next season. Like, that is this whole thing. And then, so he's talking about wanting to leave, but then the Blue Jackets are still sending out Blue Line merch emails with him as like the main character wearing all the gear. Like, I just think that organization really needs to realign. I hope Brad Larsen is up to that, but them trying to say, oh, it's a new voice in the locker room, it quite literally, objectively, is not a new voice. It's a voice that's been in the locker room for the last 7 seasons. So I am not going to condemn the situation before I see how it plays out, but I am not sitting over, and I feel like generally I'm a pretty optimistic person, but like, I don't feel great about where the Blue Jackets are right now. So that's my two cents.
Josh, what's your take?
I feel like I need the question repeated after.
Yeah. So, well, basically the organization, I don't know if I want to say is in turmoil, but I feel like the image definitely needs to be improved. And we've talked about it in the last couple of weeks, just, you know, I've said that this team is kind of irrelevant in some ways, because they've never really done much in their history outside of a few playoff appearances, and they've won one series ever. In fact, on ESPN in the NBA playoff game on Friday night, they were part of the teams in their graphics showing these teams had never been to the conference final, and the Blue Jackets were right there on ESPN being embarrassed as usual. So I just feel like this team needs a makeover from top to bottom. When I say makeover, I mean, basically, they need to just figure out how to market, how to promote, Do you have ideas, Josh, on what this team could do? Or really, what's your take when you think about this organization?
Yeah, I mean, the first step is admitting you have a problem, right? So they took that step. They've acknowledged it. Davidson obviously won't tip his hand. Whatever it means, they're going to do something about it. The Josh Anderson thing. I've heard multiple takes on that. Did we offer him a full contract? Did he not want to listen to anything but a one-year contract? And yeah, I think the Portsline article referred to him as Davidson as the uncle who is going to smooth things over.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much.
Did we have much success signing guys when he was here? So I don't know how much effect that's going to have. Like Dubois, will we ever know? Doubtful. But as far as what we can do, can make them feel like they're wanted. The disconnect from the front office to the locker room is obviously it's there. So, I mean, what do you want them to do? Are they going to not hardball them with the RFA offers? Are we going to, you know, I don't know how much nicer you want to make the facilities. They're one of the only few rinks in the league that have the practice arena right next to it, which apparently is a big deal since I know some of the teams have to drive an hour between, you know, practice or rink and home ice. I mean, you can't build a beach. Obviously they've mentioned that, but I mean, the marketing, yeah. I mean, Seth Jones, even in my line of work now, I've done press releases for him where he's involved with a CBD company now. And if he goes anywhere in a big market, he's going to be everywhere. So what are they doing here? I mean, I know it's been mentioned before. We have Jody Shelley and Tortorella doing Kinetico commercials, and that's pretty much as far as right. It goes. Yeah. I do miss the Foligno's favorite commercials, though.
Me too.
and even with – I live up in Northeast Ohio, so you got the Monsters Jackets connection. They don't do anything to market Columbus up in the Cleveland area at all.
Which is weird.
It's so weird, and it's such a wasted opportunity. I was so psyched when the alignment went, the Jackets ditched the Monsters ditched Colorado and associated with the Jackets. That I thought that was going to be huge. You know, they won a championship, which was awesome. But since then, like, how much do you hear about it? You'll hear a rink report on Miguel Agut's podcast on his podcast or even in between periods every now and then. But they need to really, you know, bring the Ohio aspect into it. And that's such a wasted opportunity. You have a whole rabid Cleveland fan base who it's honestly, it's wasted up here. We hockey fans, the Monsters, they have one of the best fan bases in the AHL. They constantly rank, I think, probably top three at least every year in terms of attendance. And it just doesn't translate. The Cavs, obviously, with their struggles, they could, in my opinion, obviously it's not a professional league, but it can challenge, rival the Cavs, in my opinion, especially with where they're at now. You have a winning team. Yeah. But honestly, I think the biggest thing is make the players feel wanted, treat them like humans, not as commodities, and milk that Cleveland. You have a whole fan base up there just waiting to embrace it, but a lot of it's wasted. Yeah.
And they share the arena, right? So it's kind of right there for them. So, and you guys are both in sort of a marketing PR type of a role, right? So public relations, whatever. So do you guys have specific ideas? Like if the Blue Jackets were your project, I don't know, like what would be your basic outline for them to be able to fix this? Or what would you do? Either one of you guys, both of you guys.
Well, I can jump in and say that having interned with the Blue Jackets, and that was kind of how my involvement and interest in them began many moons ago. God, when it was either summer of 2017 or 2018, I just know that all my buddies who used to work there, like, don't work there anymore because they weren't paid enough and they were overworked. And I don't think that all of them were like in love with the culture there, and they're not players. They're, you know, behind the scenes, whatever. So I really think it's like a top down issue where unless you are, and I know I was unpaid, and I know that that's also a standard in the sports industry, not to pay your interns, which I would need a whole separate podcast to talk about how I feel about that. But Yeah, exactly. Like Josh said, you need to make them feel like they're wanted there, whether they're in their early 30s with a wife and kids, or whether they're 22 years old and, you know, fresh and new to the league. It's about paying your people and wanting them to be there and not accepting high turnover rates, whether that's in the front office, whether that's on the roster of players. And I don't want to say it's not lazy, but it is incorrect to be like, oh, people just don't want to live in Columbus. Columbus is one of the fastest growing cities in the United States of America. You know, the housing market is insane. People are moving here like crazy. Places are being developed like crazy. And that's only on an upward trend. It's not like this is a ghost town and no one wants to live here. There are tons of great perks to living here. I think that their right to negotiate to be paid what they're worth. And I also think that they're right to walk away and try things out with others. Look at Josh Anderson. He's like the perfect success case of, you know, like you said, yeah, he got traded, but he's doing great where he is now. And I think it's about making the players feel like they're valued here, both financially and emotionally, I guess. And not like there are just commodities, or not like they're just faces that they slap on the banners outside of Nationwide Arena, but that they're actual personalities. And then, yeah, great call out, Josh, on kind of mobilizing the Cleveland market. Even Cincinnati and places that big cities in Ohio that aren't so far away, but don't. I know, being from Toledo, if anyone was a hockey fan, they were Red Wings. And then we have the Walleye up there, which isn't AHL. I don't know what exactly league that is. But yeah, I mean, there's plenty of hockey fans in Ohio. It's not like they're not there. And I think it's just about catching their interest, and the Blue Jackets need to take care of their own in order to kind of grow and cultivate their fan base. Because I think that it's just year after year becoming more and more transparent, almost the turmoil within the organization.
Walleye or ECHO?
Okay. Yeah. Good call. I went to high school with a couple guys who play there now, and like those games are fun, but they're, I think, technically part of the Red Wings organization. But yeah, that's a big draw in Toledo to go to Walleye games and Mud Hens games, whatever. Like, certainly the fans exist, and high school hockey is huge in Ohio. Like, it's not that people aren't interested. And I know that's not an issue with Nationwide. And I know that's why players do love coming here, is because of the fans and because of their presence at the games. But like, yeah, they have a great little golden goose with the Monsters, and they could certainly tap into that. And yeah, the Nick Foligno Papa John's commercials was just the Foligno's favorite was one of those things I didn't realize how much I would miss it until it was gone.
And the Myers Jewelers Doobie ones were pretty awesome.
Oh,
too.
Yeah, those were good too. I know. Yeah.
Like, those are, it's almost got the meme aspect to them, where it's like they're so bad that they're good.
Right. Yeah. Foligno being every single character in the commercial. Yeah. Like those. And then, yeah, I mean, we haven't even, besides the commercial, haven't mentioned him being not kind of the figurehead of the players anymore. And, you know, we'll see if and when that changes.
But they need a guy that's young to be the figurehead. Definitely. A guy like Elvis Merzlikins, yeah, if he's still going to be here.
Yeah.
I mean, Foligno, nothing against Foligno. He's a great community guy when he was in Columbus, and, you know, even with Toronto, and great leader. But that's not the guy that's going to drive home.
Yeah, definitely.
You know,
he was kind of the last generation of that. Yeah, for sure.
Like Oliver, I don't know, maybe an Oliver Bjorkstrand, who's maybe the best player on the team right now, or, you know, they need a market guys, period. But Josh, did you have any thoughts? Or you said you do a lot of stuff like with press releases, so kind of in that ballpark for sure.
Press releases would be right in line with the Blue Jackets' current marketing, because it's boring.
Right. Yeah.
But I mean, there is so much. And honestly, I would lean into the meme commercials, because one, they're hilarious. Two, they're memorable. And what more do you need? It's going to stick with people. I still like just pointing at the camera after the experience Myers Jewelers. It just resonates, and it's stupid, but you're probably not going to get national exposure here. I'm sorry. Like, it is what it is, but in terms of marketing, I don't know. You need to just step it up. And I know I'm not in the creative role in it. I'm checking your work to see what you messed up.
Well, there you go. You can audit this team and be like, here's where you're going wrong. I can't tell you how to fix it, but I can tell you the problem.
And you're speaking of the, you knew Rachel, you knew people who work within the, I don't know if they were like inside sales or something like that. Have you noticed though, the salespeople have like migrated to Twitter? I don't know if they always have been, but like they're following just everyone in the, who uses like the hashtag or something. And I don't know if that's their new like cold leads or whatever, but I don't know if they're scraping the bottom of the barrel and having trouble with the season ticket sales, but I've definitely noticed
they are
multiple salespeople coming out and scouring social media for leads, which kind of makes me nervous, but also
I can't really blame
the fans for.
Yeah, no, definitely not. I didn't work with sales or the ticket office. I worked in digital and social media. I didn't know they were doing that, but that does feel like kind of a red flag. Like that's how they're getting new customers, new season ticket holders. I mean, I saw a lot of vitriol, and I also know that Twitter isn't the whole world, and Twitter isn't everyone's opinions. And
Twitter's not real life.
It's not real life, but I did see a lot of people saying that they were going to drop their season ticket membership, like just saying that out loud, like declaring it. So after Larson was announced, I wouldn't be surprised if a couple people are saying that on Twitter. Then how many people are just doing it without announcing it, you know what I mean? So if they're scouring hashtags for cold leads, then I don't feel like that is good. Like that can't be a good sign of ticket sales health.
Today's episode is brought to you by cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to cars.com. It's magical.
Hello, I'm Neelai Patel, the editor-in-chief of The Verge and host of Decoder, a business podcast where I interview CEOs about big ideas, the problems that come from those ideas, and how they make decisions. It is also surprisingly about org charts. It comes up a lot. We're launching a new limited series that we're calling the Centennial Series, where I talk to CEOs of companies that are over 100 years old, like Xerox, Barnes & Noble, and more. There's no 100-year-old company that's without its struggles, and it's been fascinating to talk to these CEOs about which parts of these companies' history are important and which parts they can let go. A little spoiler for you, if a company is over 100 years old, there's a lot of drama to talk about. It's been a good time. You can listen to the Centennial Series right in the Decoder feed. New episodes of Decoder are out on Tuesday, and the Centennial Series is out on Thursdays. Check it out. We think you're really going to like it. You can get it wherever you get your podcasts.
Rick Nash is now the director of player development, and just based on the article, it sounds like he's mainly just going to be in Cleveland. He's going to be traveling around North America and Europe to kind of, I don't know, keep an eye, or not keep an eye, but probably identify talent, help, as he put it in the article, in the Portland Athletic article. He's going to help players like become an NHL player in the next phase of their career, like really help develop them. He's going to be the director of player development, and they're also bringing in Mark Letest too and Derek Dorsett to the staff. So kind of like this, I don't know, probably by design, trying to bring in like the alumni, Blue Jackets players, Kevin Dineen, maybe he'll be an assistant coach on the team. Who knows? But did you guys have any thoughts on those hires? And, or, I mean, it's kind of hard to really speculate too much. Maybe it helps the team having a guy like Rick Nash heading that up though.
Yeah, I know Nash has been, I'm following around Yarmo for the past few years, but it makes me nervous because what in his resume like qualifies him for that position aside from being the most recognizable name in Blue Jackets history, if one of them? Like, is this just a reward? Like, we want to have a name associated with all the bad press. We want to have a piece of good news. And
like an ambassador.
Exactly. Which is awesome. Cause I mean, growing up, Rick Nash, he was it. So I was heartbroken when he left. I was hoping he would come back for a playoff run, but I was thrilled to see him come back, you know, in any position and, you know, get back in line with the team and, you know, get on our good graces again. But player development, I mean, I don't know. Wasn't he responsible for the club atmosphere in the room and just the,
yeah,
you know, always being just too laid back. I don't know. it just makes me nervous seeing that.
Yeah, it almost sounds like he's just got like, not, I'm not saying this is what it is, but it almost sounds like it's like a nice cushy job for him. But it's like, wait, he's actually the director of player development. Like he's got a legitimate.
Yeah, he's in charge of it.
So it's not like he's just there to watch games and just talk to players. Like he's going to have some specific input, I would think, for Jarmo and Kekalainen and for John Davidson. So that'll be interesting to see how that comes out, if that happens to help shape this organization, this team on the ice or off the ice too.
Definitely. I think the same. I think that it's cool. You know what? When you hear it, you're like, oh, like Mark Letestu, you know, Rick Nett, like you're bringing back these alumni. But what is that to me? That just immediately, my next thought is, well, isn't that just kind of cementing the Blue Jackets echo chamber of like not bringing in new voices, not bringing in guys who necessarily have the resumes or experiences, especially outside of the Blue Jackets organization, to do these jobs that are not peripheral to the success of the Blue Jackets, but integral to the success of the Blue Jackets. And it has, I think, it does give me kind of like a country club / boys club culture that I just think is probably, you know, because it's like, it's, you know, not to equate the Blue Jackets to the Police, but it's like when the Police do like an internal investigation on themselves, it's like, oh, everything's fine. We're doing everything fine. And it's like, well, when the Blue Jackets have to hold up the mirror to themselves and be like, but what are we doing wrong? Well, Rick Nash does great at his, you know, whatever. And it's like, they're not going to be able to point fingers at each other and point fingers at themselves and be like, we're the problem. As opposed to maybe if they had some fresh new blood from other sources that were maybe less familiar with how Blue Jackets culture works. And then they would be the ones to be able to kind of shift and reimagine what future Blue Jackets culture is going to look like. And I really think that the time is ripe for something like that to happen, because it's just, these last couple years have just led us into this like stale place where it's like the same problems are just happening again and again. There's really no immediate resolution. I mean, this is obviously an incredibly multifaceted issue with player retention, fan, you know, season ticket hold. They got to keep the lights on over there. They have to make money. And I know that every NHL team was affected obviously by the pandemic and by fans not being in the arena, but I'm sure that the last thing that the Blue Jackets ticket office needed after they hired Larson was a wave of people canceling their season tickets. So it's just everyone's used to watching hockey on their television. Obviously everyone's excited to get back into the stands, but if you are unhappy with the head coach hire and you're unhappy with who is or is not on the team anymore, then it's like, I've never bought a season ticket package. I imagine that they're pretty pricey. People need to put that money elsewhere in some cases. So
I was lucky enough to cancel my season tickets right before they started making the playoffs. So I am the opposite. I was around for the bad years and then had to cancel it once they started making their playoff runs.
I started working with them when they started making their playoff runs. So it was, I got to see the exciting stuff. And then this year they lose and they don't make the playoffs.
It got hard to make a two hour each way round trips for the day to watch them lose 5-0. So then as soon as I cancel, they turn it around.
Yeah.
Kevin Stenlund signed a 1-year deal. He is now eligible to be exposed in the upcoming expansion draft to Seattle. Eric Robinson's another name. There's other players that could be eventually off to Seattle, but either of you guys have any opinion on who you think should be exposed, or you think Stenlund could be the guy that ends up in Seattle, or maybe they go goaltender? I don't know who the other goalies are that are out there that could be exposed and off to Seattle, but Columbus has a few guys, obviously. But what do you guys think about that?
I think it would be it's going to come back to bite them if they expose Stenlund. He's got 6'4", 200-odd pounds, right-handed shot center. Isn't that prototypical? Isn't that what you want to bring in? Okay, so he might not be the best skater. Okay. Defense, he's still got some room to learn, but he's played the last two seasons. He's played 32 games each year, 10 points both seasons. this year he had long gaps of, you know, healthy scratch, which was just enraging. Every day I would see the lineups, which is icing Stefan Matteau and Zach Dalpy over Stenlund. That was my torts rage knew no bounds. But yeah, Stenlund should be protected. And Robinson, I know a lot of people are protect Robinson at all costs. And I there's definitely merit in that argument, but he's fast. He's tenacious on the forecheck, but he has no finish, which I would like to think you could find guys who are fast and have no finish. And obviously he's not that young. Now that I say that, was he 26? I think he just turned 26. How much improvement are you going to see from a bottom six winger who I would expose? I would definitely expose Nyquist. I don't think anyone's taking a 32, 33-year-old player coming off major shoulder surgery for, you know, five and change for his cap hit. I wouldn't. I know I've heard maybe exposing Cam, which the argument is there, but we talk about showing loyalty to players, and I think Cam is one of the ones who's absolutely deserved it. Wouldn't do that to him or his family. And Domi was the other one. I think that makes sense in all honesty. I don't see Domi re-signing. He's also, as I mentioned, going to be out for the first quarter to a third of the year. So basically they're picking up a rental. They're getting rid of a rental.
They probably wouldn't take that either.
Yeah, exactly. So Kivlenyk, honestly, he makes the most sense to me. He's succeeded everywhere he's gone. It hasn't been the conventional route, going to the USHL and dominating there and then getting signed to the AHL and eventually working his way up with the Blue Jackets and succeeding in the few starts he's had. I mean, and then the international tournament this year, he killed it. Blue Jackets, they're in a position of luxury there. So if they took Kivlenyk, best case scenario, and honestly, that might be the route they go.
Yeah.
Dean Kukin, I'd be happy if they took him too, to be honest. Mm-hmm. He's a good puck-moving defenseman, but ever since I used to go to a lot of Monsters games during that championship Calder run, and just that year he was getting regular minutes, and he would just get pushed off the puck so easily and just, I'm not going to call him soft because he's an NHL player. He'd still kick my ass, but they can afford to lose him, which obviously losing Seth Jones is going to hurt the defense, so maybe they can't afford to lose him, but the gist of that, I guess, is please protect Stenlund, then Robinson, and then hopefully Kivlenyk is the one to go.
I agree with that assessment. First of all, for Pale Dragon, his sake, I would love for Stenlund to stay here because I would be sad for him, sad day if he were to not. And I agree with everything that you said, Josh. He might not be the best skater, but everything else that he has going for him is like reason enough, in my opinion, for him to stay around. I will shed real tears the day that Max Domi is no longer with this team, but he is, you know, his shoulder situation right now, I get it, and his first inaugural season with the team like wasn't great, but I feel like it ended on a as high a note as it could have. I don't know, I can't postulate who I would like to see stay and leave, but I agreed with Josh's assessment. Will remembers how devastated I was when Max Domi posted his picture of his girlfriend on Valentine's Day. That was a tough scene for me.
we had to talk it out. No, I'm kidding. What do you guys think about Jack Eichel? He's out there. I think he's going to get traded sooner than later. I don't know if it really makes sense for Columbus considering where they're at. I mean, yeah, if you can get a Jack Eichel, it's perfect. But the risk of his, what, surgery aside, I just don't know if him going from one losing team to another, potentially a losing team in Columbus, makes sense for either party, really. But and then I saw Reinhardt's name popping up. Looking at his stats, Sam Reinhardt's stats, his numbers look good. He'd probably be Columbus's like one of their leading scorers. But I also think he's a complimentary piece that you don't want to headline you don't want to make him your headline package when you're trying to kind of overhaul this roster. So I don't think either is any up in Columbus, do you?
The one that scares me the most is Reinhardt, because every proposal that I've seen that involves Reinhardt involves a goalie, and that goalie is usually going to be Elvis. Korpisalo, if you can work out anything with him as even a, not a, probably he doesn't qualify as the base, but even a sweetener, throw Corposalo in to get Reinhardt, sure. Elvis, I'm not doing that because from what I've seen, it would be Elvis plus, which makes no sense for a couple of reasons. I don't think Corposalo is any starting goaltender on a winning team in the NHL. Just, I mean, the numbers speak for themselves. So if you're trading Elvis for Reinhardt, I feel like that's almost punting on the next few years. And why are you bringing Reinhardt in if you're going to be rebuilding? He's not going to be happy here. It just doesn't make sense in that aspect. That being said, it'll probably happen because it's the least exciting of the two options. I would give up most anything to bring Eichel in, barring like it being a Jeff Carter situation where he goes into hiding.
Yeah, if he wants to come, I'm all for it. I just don't want him to come here and then be like, I don't want to be here. So
exactly. If we sell him, and it's like, hey, come on, it's your team. We're going to build around you. We have a plan in place, which, God, I hope they have some sort of plan. Yeah, number five can have it. I mean, but who do you sweeten that with? One of the goalies. I would include Elvis in an Eichel trade just because it's Jack Eichel. I mean, where do you go from there, though? Do you give a foodie? Do they want a Marchenko? Do they want to take a chance on a Russian prospect coming over? Our prospect pool isn't full of, you know, blue chip names. So, I mean, I don't know what else they would want. Texier, Bemström, I'm not giving up on him yet. I mean, if he's going to go in an Eichel, pretty much anyone is available in an Eichel deal. All bets are off when it comes to that. But I think Bemström was horribly used last year was his rookie year, but this year it is horribly used. I mean, that hat trick game was just, not to say I called it, but I put that out in the universe and it happened. I've always believed in him. I think he's a 30 goal scorer in the right system. Hopefully Larson can recognize that. I'd be hesitant to give him up, but again, all bets are off for Jack Eichel. I would do pretty much anything to bring him here and have him be happy.
So we're out of time, but I'll get real fast from each of you. Stanley Cup final participants, who do you guys have between Vegas, Montreal, and then Tampa Bay and the Islanders? I'm going to say Tampa Bay against Vegas. I don't want Vegas, but I think it's going to be Tampa Bay and Vegas.
Ew.
Yeah,
that would suck. It's
ew, but I wanted Montreal and the Islanders just to mix it up.
Well, that's what I'm going to go with, because I'm going to speak that into the universe, Montreal versus the Islanders, and I'm going to begin manifesting that now, because I saw a funny picture on Twitter today, and it was like three of the Vegas Golden Knights celebrating their goal, and it was two Vegas players and the referee, like, all huddled together, and I was like, like I said, I have not been watching games, but I've been following, like, the Twitter discourse, and I just, like, feel kind of compelled to dislike Vegas. You know who's very likable on social media these days is the Kraken. I'm super excited for that team to, like, come together. It'll suck when it means taking players from everybody, but, like, I'm excited to see what they do. And I'm rooting for Montreal, ultimately, I think. Whether that's misguided or not, I don't really care.
Josh Anderson getting that goal off of Fleury, just like when the Blue Jackets were in the 13-14, was it 13-14 playoffs?
13-14, yeah.
Same thing. They scored it. That's really poetic how that happened in a former Blue Jacket, so there you go.
Yeah, I'm going to go the Islanders just because I want to speak that into existence, just because, you know, I don't think anyone wants to see Tampa Bay just with all the cap shenanigans they've pulled. Right. I love watching Vegas, but I just can't get past the fact that they're too new, and I don't know what that says about me, but I think I'm just bitter that I want to be in that spot.
That's what we're all saying.
But I do. I love watching that team. They're so fun to watch. I love Mark Stone. I don't know why we couldn't have. I mean, I guess we didn't have the pieces, but getting Ryan Dzingel from the Sens instead of Mark Stone, who didn't go for much more, if I recall. But I love Mark Stone, so I'm going to say New York, Vegas. Vegas is going to win the Stanley Cup in their third or fourth year of existence, and I'm going to be very bitter, but I like them.
That's fair.
That's going to do it for us this week. Be sure to check us out at CBJ Cannon on Twitter and Facebook at jacketscannon.com. More articles will be going up this week, and we will be back next week. See you then. Subscribe to the Canon Cast on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts so you can catch every episode. Leave us a review and a rating, and as always, we welcome your thoughts and feedback. Go to jacketscanon.com for more Blue Jackets coverage from us, and follow us on Twitter at CBJCanon. Our theme music is the song Green Eyes by Angela Pearlie and the Howling Moons. Check out angelapearlie.com for more music and show dates.